So our first speaker is going to be Myeryoung Kim. She could not be here, so she's left a video message. Myeryoung Kim is someone, Kathy, you should know, David married her. But that's okay, because David also married my wife. That is, he was the officiant. He was the person who performed my wedding and also Myeryoung's wedding. So, Myeryoung.
Hi, my name is Myeryoung Kim. I'm an assistant professor at the University of Texas at Austin. I'm one of David's former PhD students, and I did my PhD under his supervision from 2001 to 2008 at the University of Washington. Today, it's really my pleasure and honor to share my experience of having David as an advisor and friend and encourager. I wish I could be present in Seattle, but as you can see, I'm 36 weeks pregnant with my first child and couldn't travel, couldn't fly to Seattle at this time. David is one of the most encouraging person that I know. He not only inspired me to pursue an academic career, but gave me a confidence to do so. When David was on sabbatical in Sweden, and I was about 2 years before getting my PhD, he provided me an opportunity to give research talks at several universities across Europe. For some places, actually, David was invited as a guest speaker, but he offered me the chance instead because he knew that this experience would be tremendously valuable for my graduate career. On the first day of embarking my tour from Sweden, I had to catch a 6 a.m. early morning train. David got up early and offered to walk to the train station together. At the time, actually, I was very nervous because it was my first time to give a department colloquium talk. I was also very anxious because I had to make multiple complicated train transfers from Lund to the destination in Germany on time. I actually realized I did not even have some cash with me at the time, so I had to borrow 40 euros from David at the train station. I think David sensed that I was nervous and worried about the trip, so I still remember what David said when I was boarding on the train. "Don't worry, Myeryoung, you're gonna rock it." This experience of touring different universities prepared me very well for my faculty job interviews the year after. I wouldn't be where I am without David's continuous encouraging words. I'm grateful to David for putting his students' interests first before his own. David is very patient, sensitive to his student needs. He's always listening. And also, he makes his time available for his students as much as he can. Take care, David. We miss you. I'm very lucky to have you as my advisor.
You can tell why she's not here. Okay, next up, I'd like to introduce Matt O'Donnell. He used to be the dean, and therefore he used to be David's boss.
So I had the great pleasure tonight of when he said, "What's your relationship with David?" I wrote, "Boss." And I think you had about the shortest term on record, I think, as an associate dean. But I met David a little over 7 years ago when I was interviewing, and I knew he had an acute mind and a very, very sharp intellect when he actually laughed at one of my jokes during the interview. But there was a topic I really thought I was going to be off base tonight because I thought this would be something that someone would harp on over and over again. And amazingly, nobody has. Okay, what are you wearing? Okay, so this is the conversation I had when I brought in David as associate dean, which was 9 months ago, 8 months ago, something like that? Yeah. We go through an interview process, and of course, I've known him since, like I said, I was interviewing. And, you know, what are you going to do about this and that? And then I came to the most critical question in the interview. Do you have a shirt with a collar? And I must admit, it took about 30 seconds before I got an answer to that. So I thought it would be absolutely appropriate at this event is that I would add to that. add to his repertoire, and it's because I kind of figured you were going to dress up. So tonight I brought a gift, and the gift I brought is his anticipation of David dressing up, is that he will remember you, Dub, as part of that outfit. So David, here is a gift for you.
Next up is Tat Parikh, who David helped to advise.
So thank you very much. Helped is really the operative word, because David was really a great help throughout my career. And in fact, David and I go way back. You know, David was the one who called me to let me know I was admitted to the University of Washington as a computer science PhD student. And little did I know how that would change my life here many years later. And David's been a big part of that and a major influence since then. So it's really, you know, a tough act to follow. We've heard lots of great heartfelt stories about David at work, David at home. And so I thought I would kind of combine those two themes and tell you my story of being a graduate student who was invited to have dinner at the Nautilus, have dinner there. So a night at the Nautilus, if you were. And so, you know, I went there for dinner, and this was before I had a better half, and so I really didn't know what to do. You know, I didn't know whether I should bring something, how I should be dressed. You know, I didn't even know if I should bring a gift tonight. You know, Matt clearly upstaged me. He already brought a gift. And so, you know, I really didn't know what to do, and so I showed up, and I was very nervous, you know, to be invited to one's advisor's house for dinner. It's clearly a very, tense event. But then I remember it was David, and so I went inside, and there was lots of stuff going on, you know, Emma and Akiva, and everyone was moving around, and lots of stuff everywhere, and lots of chaos, and I was like, okay, I can deal with this, you know. This seems right up my alley, you know. I don't seem to feel underdressed at all. And so it was very comfortable, and we had a nice dinner, and we really had a nice time with the whole family, and I really enjoyed getting to know David's entire family and how he was there with his family, which was very like he was at work, just at ease and just a real person. And you know, we went through the dinner, and, you know, I was having a great time until dessert came. And at dessert, Emma and Akiva, they brought me menus for dessert. So wherein which I had to check off what toppings I wanted on my sundae. There were small check boxes there. And so Emma may never have refactored code, but she certainly refactored dessert. And I really didn't know the tactful way to check all of those off, because really I wanted all the toppings. And I didn't really know the tactful way of doing that. And I was at my advisor's house, so I only checked one in each category again. And the model checking went through very smoothly at that point, because we weren't violating any of the pre-specifications. And so that was my night at the Nautilus. You know, I really enjoyed myself very much. Dessert was excellent. I did not get all the toppings, but still was quite wonderful. And that, you know, for me, that was really it gave me a really great example that David was not only a great professor and a great advisor, he was just a good person, you know, and he was a good person with his family, with his students, with his colleagues, and with me, you know, and throughout, you know, he helped me really selflessly. You know, he got, I'm not sure what he got out of our relationship, but I certainly got. I certainly got a lot out of it. And you know, now, you know, when I'm having a hard day and I'm thinking, you know, I'm not achieving this, I'm not getting this done, you know, similar to what someone else said earlier, I remember, you know, Ed stole my line earlier, but that, you know, Nico Haberman quote that Ed, that David carries so proudly on his webpage is really true for me today. And I remember, hey, I don't have to be great. The students have to be great, you know, and that takes all the pressure off of me. And So thank you for teaching me a very valuable lesson that allows me to sleep at night. David Nockin, you're my favorite man.
Next up is John Zahorjian. He's actually been in the department longer than David, so it's his fault David got hired.
I'm a late addition to the schedule because I thought somebody should tell the truth about the early years. It probably surprised a lot of you. There are a few of us here who were here when David was hired. But I'll try to. I've been thinking over the day trying to get an exact quote from his interview talk, but I'm sure I have this a little bit wrong. But he gave us a 15-minute talk that went something like, the left insinuation of the underhanded else clause would insinuate itself in the downward spiral of unending coding paradigms. And the 10 or 15 of faculty, we were somewhere around there at that time, we looked at each other and said, well, that must be software engineering. Let's hire this guy. So we did. And then for approximately the next 8 years, I never understood a thing he said. And I'll tell you that this was so bad that we would go to his office and we'd ask him if he wanted to go to lunch, and he would say something and we wouldn't know if he was coming or not. And we'd get together and walk down the stairs and he might be with us, and you never knew if he was coming until you actually sat down at the table to eat, because it was just impossible. And then one day, I was in his office getting some candy out of the candy bin, and David was just back from a conference, and he was ranting about, there was a panel discussion, and there was some discussion of the fact that at that time, 60% of the cost of software development was maintenance. And I'm looking through the candy bin, kind of listening. And David says, and I said to them, what fraction of expense should it be? And that caused me to stop for a minute. I said, hey, that made sense. And in fact, it not only made sense, it was sort of brilliant. And I think this is a hallmark of David, is that he can say something that in retrospect is just entirely clear, but that nobody had thought of. And so what I want to say to David is, we've been working together for 28 years, and for about 20 of those years, I've been learning things from you. And I wanted to thank him for that.
I'm Gail.
I'm Gail.
Well, this is mine.
No, this is my slot. Sorry, I'm on the agenda, Mike.
Gail.
Yeah, good. Yes. Thanks. We're the Gails.
That's right. And we're both from Canada.
Yes.
And we both had David as an advisor.
So I was the first Gail.
I was the second Gail.
I'm actually the black sheep Gail. I didn't go on to be an academic.
Apparently, I did.
We decided to collaborate up here. There. David appreciates collaboration, and we enjoy it too. But it was kind of tough when Mike asked, can you think of a funny story? I thought, you know, David, I don't think I have a funny story to say about my 4 years of being with you at UW. But we must have had some fun. I mean, who can be here 4 years with you without having fun? However, what I did think was, you know, when I think of you, David, I think of you as my white knight in shining armor here. Yeah, even has a little beard on him as well.
Matt gave me nothing.
Because you would look out for me, and I just want to say thank you for that. You know, you would help find summer jobs, help get me through my thesis, help write papers, get into conferences, pay for me to go to conferences. And you were just always looking out, and I just want to say I appreciate that so much. So thank you for being a leader through school and even beyond school.
It is hard to pick a story to tell about David, but in sort of listening to everybody's story, the one that really stuck out was I was really on the fence about what to do. I always wanted to go back to industry, and David said, no, stay for a PhD, which I ended up doing. And, you know, you should look for things like academic jobs, just see what it's like. So I remember about a year before I finished, Maria Clave came through, and she at that time, I think, was still head of the Department of Computer Science at UBC. I had come from Vancouver, so if I was going to go somewhere, I wanted to go back to Vancouver, and David said, you have to talk to Maria. So for those of you who know Maria Clave, she's a force. So she swept into the office I was in and proceeded to interview me when I had no idea how an academic interview would go at, like, breakneck pace. And I remember afterwards David coming and saying, how did that go? What did you say? What did she ask? And the one thing that stood out was Maria asked me something about, do you need collaborators? And I murmured something about, no, not really, don't really need collaborators. And I told this to David afterwards, and his reaction was, you said what? That's going to kill that. And then proceeded over the next year to sort of fix that for me and explain how things should really be done. So thank you, David. Oh.
Thanks, Gail. Next up is Richard Ladner, who has also been David's colleague since he arrived in the department.
Wow, many things have been said tonight. You know, I really admire a lot of things about David. He's very special to me. He's straightforward. He says what he thinks, and I really appreciate that. But I want to mention a couple of other things. I've always admired your magnificent beard, and you know, if it were my druthers, I wouldn't have hired you because I had the best beard in the department. But I read your dissertation; it was great, and we hired you. Okay, that's the first thing, your beard. It's a magnificent beard. Second, I really admire your love of baseball, and it was great to hear that story. Earlier when you went down to see the seventh game of the World Series. The Mariners have been here for 35 years. You still love the Mariners. And you go every year to opening day. And, you know, they've been losers. They have never gone to the World Series. And it just shows how much, not that you love losers, but that you love everyone. So, I'm expecting you to go again, and I brought you a little gift that'll make it a little bit easier to sit there on that cold night on opening day. Here you go.
Next up is Jean Loubert, who has been a fixture in serving the department for many years. He's actually David's chair predecessor at the Power 2.
The reason I wanted to be introduced that way is because first I want to recall a conversation I had with my chair predecessor, Paul Young, who was David's chair predecessor at the Power 3. That was, I think, a year or two after David had been in the department and we were doing evaluation of assistant professors, and at that point, there's not much data to go on. And I think Paul and my knowledge of software engineering could have really have benefited from Mike's colloquium, which was great, by the way. So after mumbling and fumbling for a few minutes, Paul just threw his arms up and said, doesn't matter, the writing is on the wall. David will be chair of his department one day. Needless to say, we did not convey that information to David right away. And in Paul's world, this was a great compliment. In mine, I'm not so sure. But but what really I wanted to talk about is something else. This is a fest that the extended CSE family is doing, and for Diane and me, the Notkin family is really part of our personal family. We were absolutely thrilled, honored, and proud to be chosen as Akiva's godparents. For the last 20 years or more, we have spent the Jewish holidays together. For me, I love the food, I love the tradition, I love the gathering, but as some of you who know me, the religion thing is not really my cup of tea. Although I must say, I had to slightly change my position when I took a trip with David. We were going to one of his ACM meetings that Carla was talking about. I don't remember if it was Houston or Dallas. And we knew we would be slightly late for the first session, so David was on his best behavior, dark suit, dark coat, dark beard on the airplane. And we arrive at the airport and we decide to splurge. You know, we were late, so we took a cab. And the cab, we get into the cab and the cab driver turns around and looks at David and says, "You are going to Hotel X, of course." And I say, "No, no, we are going to Hotel Y." Say, "No, no, you're going to Hotel X. That's all of you guys are there. This is a, we have a rabbi convention." So we had a very hard time. He had a very, I didn't say anything. He had a very hard time convincing the cab driver to really bring us to the right hotel. So this put a slight seal of religious authenticity in our bi-yearly gathering. So David and Kathy, we are looking forward to our next theater next month, and I'm personally looking much more forward to Emma's dessert than anything else. La Jaya.
Next up is Dawn Lehman, and she's interacted with David in her position as an associate dean.
Yes, I am wearing a t-shirt. Yeah, David and I are associate deans together, although I've known him before that. We are actually the WADs because we both live in Wallingford and we're associate deans. So, and we both get up early, so sometimes, you know, we'll actually meet at the Starbucks on 45th in Wallingford at about 6 a.m. And so we did try to convince Matt, like, "Oh, we should have our AD meetings at 6 a.m. at the Starbucks in Wallingford," but I don't know why he didn't go for it. I think I'm an educator. A lot of us in the room are educators. And one of the wonderful things about being an educator is that you're constantly learning from the people around you. And when I thought about speaking about David, I feel like I've learned a lot from him. And I want to share a couple of those things with you. So maybe it's not a single story, but. So David, I guess probably most of you know, he's really savvy with social media, right? So he's on Facebook, and he has an ungodly number of friends, you know. And so I'm on Facebook, and he's my friend on Facebook, and I can basically handle that. And I just remember at some point he contacted me through Google Plus, and I was like, "Oh, seriously? The Facebook thing alone is not enough. I got to add this thing too." And then we started talking about, with Eve Riskin, who is another associate dean, having a blog, you know. And so I was like, "Oh, God, I'm a civil engineer, you know." I'm nice and all, but I don't know if I can really do a blog. But so he sent us this example of something that he could post, which is called a flash talk, which is not maybe what first comes to your mind. It is a talk where they advance the slide every, I don't know what it is, 15 seconds. So there's a slide that he shows on this flash talk that sticks out in my mind, and it has an image of David. And it says, "Computer science professor or Pilates instructor?" And you're all thinking, "Oh, I got this one nailed," right? But what I want to do is I want to put up an image of David that says, "Pilates instructor or university administrator?" And now you're thinking, "Oh, the Pilates instructor thing, that's actually kind of plausible." So I think he's taught me well that, you know, appearances are sometimes deceiving. And, you know, we shouldn't just look at somebody and assume something. So thank you for that. The other thing that, you know, I do in the AD meetings is that I happen to have these colleagues who have boys. I have two girls and one boy. And I think most of my colleagues know that I always say, one boy is enough for me. You know, so I'll go to David with my things about Alex, my son. You know, "I don't know what to do. You know, he won't change his clothes. He doesn't want to change his clothes every day." You know, and of course, for most of my male colleagues, they're like, "What's your point?" But, and I remember David said to me, I guess, that his mother used to say to his sister, "Go downstairs, find out what your brother's doing, and tell him to stop it." And I was like, "Oh, my God, that's just, like, exactly what I want to say to Alex." So, and I figure, you know, he turned out okay. So, you know, our son might turn out okay as well. The other thing that, you know, when I first took the associate dean job, they sort of said to me, "What are you most scared of?" And I said, "Meetings," which probably is not what you're supposed to say as a university administrator. And I have learned a lot about the art of surviving a meeting from David. And the two things that stick out to me the most are, it's completely appropriate to drop the F-bomb at the right moment. Completely appropriate. And the second thing is that the iPad is your friend. Because David can sit at this meeting. He's absorbing everything that's going on. But, you know, he knows, like, if he's on that iPad, nobody's really going to ask him anything. So I'm learning. So I guess just in closing, when I think of all my interactions with David over the years, certain things come to mind. I mean, he's obviously incredibly intelligent. He's a collaborator. He's supportive. But one of the things I love the most about him is he will come up to me and greet me, and he always says to me, "Hello, friend." And I have to say, David, thank you so much for being my friend.
Next up, we're going to hear from Rachel Pottinger. She's a faculty member at UBC, and she's not David's advisee, but is one of the many people who were touched by David.
I got to know David when I was the graduate student on the chair search committee that saw him appointed as chair, an act for which, for his sake, I've always felt slightly sorry. Sorry about that. And I got to know that one of his defining characteristics, other than the beard, was how much he really cares about people. For example, David helped me through a frustrating time when my husband and I had been on the job search. My husband, Steve, is also a UW CS grad. And we had been interviewing, and there was this one university that we interviewed at, and after a while, they decided not to hire him, and then they decided not to make me an offer either, because it would be unfair to bring me in under those circumstances. And this was something that had me questioning not only them, but also me, and if I was a good fit for this field. And David was good enough to talk me through this because he'd been talking to me throughout the job search, and he knew that I'd be questioning myself, which is far worse than questioning them. So he was able to help me through this. I've also been fortunate enough throughout this to get to know David's family. After we went through the chair search, I decided that it would be nice to have David over for dinner, but I was kind of on the fence about whether to have his kids over or not, because at the time, I really didn't know much about kids. So I asked David what he thought, and he said that I should have them over because they were fun and non-destructive. This turned out to be true. Akiva slept the entire time. And seeing how great David was with his kids, as well as how great his kids are, is one of the reasons that we decided that if his kids could be that great, that maybe this parenthood thing was a good idea. So, you know, it's one of the reasons we have a kid today. Thank you. Since graduating, I've seen David a bit less, but he still cares. So about a year ago, I had to do a short video for my friend Anne, who had won a UW Diamond Award. And I was very nervous about this because I knew that all the UW CS people would be watching. And so sure enough, that night, I got a message from David talking about something that he had seen. It was not about the speech. It was about the fact that he was horribly distracted that I had worn lipstick. I think this marks only about the third time in the last 10 years that I've actually worn lipstick. I think I was married in this lipstick. And I don't think that anybody other than David actually noticed. So that's one of the things that makes David great, is how much he notices and cares about other people. So now that I'm all dressed up for the occasion, I've got the lipstick, I've got the clothes, I wanted to do something that I think is sort of a hallmark of my experience here, which is you can't be afraid to make an idiot out of yourself. And I think David would agree with that. So if you look at your tables, you will find that you have small pieces of paper. Everybody has small pieces of paper there? Okay. Yeah, you're all good. Great. Okay, so how many of you have ever heard the song Frère Jacques? Very good. Okay, so here's the deal. You are all now part of this parody song. Okay, the lyrics are easy, the song is easy. So what we're going to do, so we're going to do this once all together. Okay, and then we're going to do it in a round. Ooh, yeah. So if you look at your pieces of paper, it will say either A, B, C, or D. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, discuss amongst yourselves. Very good. Discuss, discuss, discuss. Okay, stop. No, we're discussing. Okay. So we're all going to do this together. Then I'll hold up A when A starts. You know, it's the natural thing, but in case you get confused, we've got props. Okay. Are you ready? Okay. David Notkin, David Notkin, friend who's true, you make our lives richer, you make our lives richer, we love you, David Notkin, friend who's true, you make our lives richer, you make our lives richer, we love you, we love you.
So I have no prepared remarks, and I have no idea. Of course, I just told these guys about one of our PhD students who's at Rochester and ran a class and had all the students fold paper airplanes and see who could hit him. His class did something like 2 out of 68 hit him. You guys are less good. And that's just from the mechanical engineering department. But Ben's focused, and he's looking forward to Super Bowl Sunday when it'll be at a closer range, I can tell. Look, I really don't know what to say. I mean, there's too much tie-dye out there to think. And I'm not often speechless, but boy, I'm pretty damn close. It's just a tremendous thing. One thing I want to tell you is how the seating was arranged, just in case you weren't sure. You know, family, friends, family and family friends, and then students and advisees and mentees and whatever, and then the riffraff, like the deans and the provosts and the faculty and the friends. So, you know, I love y'all back there, but, you know, there is a priority. And it was well thought through, and it worked okay. So, wow. Some of the stories, the one thing I did get is I got a message just now from Politico.com, and they said for virtually everything it was liar, liar, pants on fire. So it's great because some of the stories were true. Some I actually remember, some I don't remember, and I believe are true. And but if nothing else, I catch the spirit of a lot of things that I've learned from all of you, and that's really very satisfying. And I really don't have much more specific to say. Again, I'm not often at a loss for words. People said I said something nice over in the atrium. I have no idea because I don't know what I said. And you know, I just want to thank each and every one of you. There's not a one of you out there that hasn't helped in some significant way. And, you know, just I'll pay it forward in some way to other folks. And that's a good thing. But, you know, I'm around for those $1 hugs. And, you know, Rachel will lend me her lipstick if you really want it. Ben's still trying to hit me with an airplane and not successfully. But thanks for coming, and thanks for being you guys, and it makes for a great group. And I'm sorry this isn't more organized, but that's the way it goes. I'm sort of stunned.